Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
All right, hey, welcome in. It's a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Matt Dennison with you. Lee Kelly in studio as normal for the Thursday edition of our program. And I've got a full studio today. I go from being alone in here in this dark WXVW studio most days to having Lee with me on Thursdays. Alex Bozich is with us as well, live and in person today. So you know we're going to talk a lot of IU stuff with him coming up here in just a few moments. Welcome to the show. Don't forget, we do this each weekday, 11 a.m., complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. If you missed the live show at 11, we're available most days here on the Big X at 3 p.m. You can also find our podcast on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast as well. And we appreciate you being with us, no matter how you're with us, live or on your time. Thanks for joining us each day here on the Hoosier Report. Let's take a look at the guest lineup today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, Lee, Alex, and I will have our Hoosier headlines, our news of the day, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Talk a little bit about the IU women. Of course, we'll talk some IU men's basketball as well, but the women with a big-time victory last night over Butler, they are off to just a tremendous start in women's college basketball. We'll talk some New Albany Floyd Central. That game on the horizon. Big game on Friday night, a rivalry game as always. Should be competitive. Floyd Central comes in on a high this year with a very good team. Will be interesting to see how that plays out. We'll talk about that game with those guys as well, get their predictions, and much more coming up here a little bit later. That's a look at the then I need to tell you segment two. Alex Bozich will be with us. We'll continue our conversation about IU basketball presented by CC Power Sports, and we'll close the show in the final minutes today. Lee Kelly and I will have the Southern Indiana basketball update for this week of the season. We'll take a look at the top performers over the last 7 days of high school basketball. We'll have our player of the week. We'll get you all set for the weekend. There's some other big games happening in addition to New Albany and Floyd Central. We'll tell you about all of those as well. That's a look at the lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your boxed lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Okay, let's take a look at some headlines. Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Alex, let's start with the game against Penn State, a road win for IU. Obviously, we're going to cover all angles of that game and look ahead to the Louisville contest as well coming up in this segment. But for the Hoosiers to go on the road, and more importantly, to be 2-0 in Big Ten play sitting here in early December, I think it's really big stuff for this team. And there have been some disappointing moments. There have been some injuries. The Duke loss was obviously a bad loss by a number of points. The Arkansas loss, just a one-pointer on the road. Very tough finish for that game. But generally, I think when you stop, take a breath, and look where this IU team is at, with the record they have and how there have been some improvements in the defense and generally across the board, hard for IU fans to not be, I think, optimistic, a good word at this point.
Yeah, anytime you're 2-0 in Big Ten play, no matter how it happens, I think it's a positive. Like you, Matt, and Lee, I've seen some of the social media rumblings of people being disappointed in certain aspects of the game. The turnovers are obviously a concern. Having 11 of those in the second half on the road, you're not going to win too many games doing that, but Indiana still finds a way to get it done. I was most impressed with kind of the composure of both Romeo and Robert Phinisee. Romeo in the first half of that game took over, scored 15 out of 17, and then down the stretch when Penn State, I thought, did a pretty good job of taking Romeo out of the game. They have Josh Reeves, who's one of the better perimeter defenders in the league, and Phinisee made plays. At one point, he scored 7 straight points, and Indiana made just enough plays to get out of there with a win. most notably there at the buzzer, they had it. They had that played perfectly. They made the ball go into the corner and got the loose ball. And like I said, I think going back to those UT Arlington and UC Davis games where Indiana probably got more challenge than they were expected to, have paid off these last two games because these were both opportunities where it came down to the wire. And Indiana's already been in a ton of close games this year, and they've figured out a way now to win in those situations. And when you have a young team and you're trying to build as the season goes along, I think these experiences are a lot more valuable than, you know, just playing Mississippi Valley State and winning by 50. I mean, these young guys are kind of getting thrown into the fire and learning how to win games. And like I said, it'll pay major dividends, I think, as the meat of the Big Ten schedule gets here.
Are you a fan of, and Lee and I have talked about this some in previous weeks, getting ready for these two games that are now in the books, but are you a fan of the 20-game schedule? Are you a fan of the Big Ten Conference having early games like this in the start of December to kind of give you maybe a preview of what things could look like before the full slate gets here in January?
Yeah, I didn't know what to think of it before they started it last year. It was kind of one of those things where I wanted to wait and see kind of how it felt, but you look around college basketball and the other conferences, a lot of them are playing insignificant games right now. And for the Big Ten to do this, you know, they're giving themselves kind of a leg up in terms of the competition level that they're playing right now. These teams are kind of getting a preview of where they stand a month before conference play really tips off. It's a good way to get some exposure nationally for the conference that you maybe otherwise wouldn't get. And so overall, I think I'm a big fan of it, especially now that they've moved to 20 games. It would be a lot more jammed in if they would try to play 20 games starting early January. So I think it's a great thing to have these games when they do. And you know, maybe I'd be having a different answer if Indiana was 0-2 in the conference or things hadn't gone as expected. But overall, I just think it's a smart thing to do for the league because you're getting – college basketball, you know, at the forefront of people's minds in a time where a lot of people are focused on NFL and college football.
Justin Smith, with the small group of people that I associate with and talk to about IU basketball, Justin Smith's name keeps coming up as why is he getting all the minutes he's getting? Your thoughts and the thoughts of the thousands of people that you associate with about IU basketball.
Well, it's interesting. We had a long conversation on the podcast yesterday. One of my good friends and a friend of you guys, Zach McCrite, came on. And Zach, we like to have him on because in a lot of ways he's a voice for a lot of IU fans in this area. The Justin Smith thing came up. And my take is, in the Penn State game specifically, did he make some mistakes with turnovers? Yes. He also had 9 rebounds, which led the team, and he did a really good job on Lamar Stevens, who is a guy who can, on a given night, go out and get 20 or 25. I think he held him to 12 points, so that was good. I think the reason that you've continued to see Justin Smith playing so much is that his upside and Indiana's ceiling is higher with him playing well. He's still a young player. He's a sophomore. He's a guy that, he's not Romeo Langford in that he's not going to, you know, come in college basketball and dominate. He had a year of kind of getting his feet wet last year. He's not playing with a ton of confidence right now, but I think the coaching staff realizes that in order for them to kind of reach the potential that this team has, they have to have Justin Smith playing well. And when you look at the bench right now, I don't really know that there's anybody else on the roster that can give them what Justin Smith can give them when he's playing well. And so I think they're going to have to continue to stick with him for as long as possible. And if it doesn't work out, obviously you're going to have to make adjustments. But, I mean, based on what I've seen of Clifton Moore, Jake Forrester, Demezi Anderson, I'm not sure that either any of those guys are better options at this point.
Alex Bozich joining us in a bonus segment as he's in studio with us today, our Hoosier headlines. I want to cover a couple other quick topics with you guys before we get to Alex and dive back into IU basketball. First off, The IU women, really good, off to an historic start. A big win over Butler last night, who also has a tremendous women's basketball program. The close of the season last year was exciting, especially with IU men's and their lack of postseason involvement a year ago to win that women's NIT. I know it's not the big show, but for IU women's basketball, it showed that there was movement forward, and a lot of that has come because of Coach Morin, who is a Seymour native, her ability to recruit right here in Southern Indiana and throughout the rest of the state. Big gains over the last couple of seasons, and interesting and really neat to see them do well and record some big wins here early on.
Yeah, I mean, they're, you know, I don't even remember before, you know, Kurt Miller was there obviously a few years and had some excitement, but before that, you know, Indiana women's basketball hadn't really been on the map at all. I mean, not something that people talked about, and I think it's a credit to Terry Morin and what she's been able to do. I think she did a really smart thing coming down into Louisville and getting Jalen Penn, the girl that I think that played at Butler and was a Kentucky All-Star, and then Grace Berger, another girl that she got from Sacred Heart. You know, Louisville's women's program has been really good, but they're recruiting more on a national level. So Indiana saw it as an opportunity to come in and get some really good players, and obviously getting the transfer from Notre Dame, Allie Patberg, who's a, I think, former Miss Basketball in Indiana,
yeah,
from Columbus. That was a really good get from Indiana. And overall, you know, I think they've just done a really good job of steadily building over time. They could be in the rankings after this week. They've just had a really strong start to the season, 8-0. And, you know, Butler was, I think, also unbeaten coming into last night's game, and Indiana on the women's side handled them pretty easily.
Yeah, girls basketball or women's basketball certainly doing well at IU. Soccer the same way. So IU sports more than just basketball on the men's side. So another good year underway for IU athletics, and good to see Terry Morin of Seymour have the success at IU.
There's a recipe about Indiana kids. I mean, I know we're all biased as guys that lived and grew up and went to school and so forth here in Southern Indiana and have followed the great game in our state now for a number of years, but that is a recipe that has worked not just for in-state schools, but for others that have been able to successfully recruit heavily from the state of Indiana. So neat to see. We'll follow them in the Big Ten season and see how things continue. Also, as we move on in our headline segment, got to talk about Floyd Central at New Albany. We'll hear from coaches Sturgeon and Shannon on the program tomorrow to preview the game on game day. One of the things I like doing is throwing it out there early in the week. Who do you think is going to win? Getting a little chatter started. I put a poll up, and I've done this for all the big games in Southern Indiana for a number of years now, and it's interesting to see the results and how quickly people make some comments about the game. But Floyd Central started off behind. The public perception, at least the people that follow me on Twitter and that somehow saw this poll, thought New Albany was going to win, or that appeared to be the vote. Floyd Central has had a big comeback. They now lead with just under 800 votes in, 56% to 44% over New Albany. So the great start to the season, Kobe Barnes putting up some huge numbers, his commitment and signing with the Division I program obviously lets people know that this Floyd Central team is for real, and the wins that they've had at Castle and at Lawrence North to start the season make them a legitimate contender in 4A. We'll find out a lot more about Floyd Central, and we'll find out more about New Albany as they try to continue to figure out ways to replace Romeo Langford here tonight, or I should say Friday night, in front of what should be a sold-out crowd.
Well, and if you're going to ask me my pick, I'm going to ask you, do you want me to pick based on how I would bet the game or how my heart wants the game to come out? Because the two may not be the same.
But it's obviously a fun time any time those guys hook up. New Albany's had control of the series. We'd be oblivious to not mention that. But there have been some really competitive games in the more recent years. Floyd Central was able to defeat New Albany back in the regular season in a classic game for the Highlanders at their gymnasium. And, of course, New Albany bounced back in the sectional with Romeo having a big performance en route to moving on to the regional. This is one of those games, with or without Romeo, that you can always count on. Great student sections, great crowds. And if you were going to bring somebody in from another state that you've bragged about what Indiana high school basketball is or how fun it's been to follow over the years, this is a sampling that you'd want them to experience. And I know both of you guys have some good experiences probably over the years from that game.
Absolutely. And when you gave me the results of that poll, Matt, I actually had to go on your Twitter account and cast a vote for the Bulldogs because, I mean, you're not going to bring me in studio. I don't care if the teams are 20-0 and 0-20 and find me picking Floyd Central to beat New Albany. So I think it'll be a fun game. I was up there last year, obviously, at Floyd Central when New Albany got knocked off, and I was there again for the sectional game where New Albany beat Floyd Central. I just think it's a great rivalry. A lot of fun to watch, and you know it's interesting now with Romeo moving on. I'm sure Coach Sturgeon feels that the playing field has been leveled a little bit, but you know, New Albany's still a really good team, off to a really good start this year, and I'm just looking forward to seeing how it goes.
How important is this game as far as the rest of the season is concerned? Last year we saw Floyd win. New Albany then came back and won in the sectional. So is the game more important for bragging rights, or really does it have some bearing on how you play your next few games on either side?
I think obviously it does. I've said this a couple times. The good news for high school basketball fans in the area, whether you're a fan of the Highlanders or the Bulldogs or the Red Devils or whoever it might be, whatever happens in these regular season games, which matter a lot for the conference race, which there's a lot of pride in that Hoosier Hills Conference and Mid-Southern and all the local conferences. But the good news for fans is whatever happens in the regular season may not necessarily be the same result that you get at the 4A sectional in Seymour. A lot's going to change for every team, as it does every season from start to finish. All teams improve. All teams figure things out. We've got great coaches in the area that are able to make adjustments both in-game and, of course, in between games and definitely by the course of a season. But we've got some great matchups to watch. And New Albany Floyd, New Albany Jeff, Jeff Floyd, just looking at that triumvirate of teams, how those go in the regular season, don't at all count that to be what might happen in the sectional. And I'm going to use an example. Our Bulldogs that we talk about a lot, they're without Romeo Langford and Sean East. That's a lot of scoring to replace. But I can assure you, whatever's happening right now, and it's been good, two wins for New Albany, and both over Bloomington South and Evansville-Harrison on the road, they will be a different and better team by the end of the year. Now, you can make that same argument for Floyd Central. You think Kobe Barnes and Todd Sturgeon, with their leadership and coaching, aren't going to really have that formidable team ready to go for a state tournament run? Absolutely they will. But we'll see some interesting regular season results, and perhaps when they match up again in the sectional with all the marbles on the line, it might be the team that maybe got beat by both of those teams in the three-way race that ends up on top, because that's the type of talent and the type of rosters that all three of those teams have. And then we're looking ahead to other regular season games. Lee, you talk about moving forward. Silver Creek could beat probably on a given night, maybe every night, all three of these teams. Who knows? So there's going to be a lot of interesting moments in this season, and I'm glad there's a very competitive nature and competitive feel about this season in Southern Indiana high school basketball on a lot of different levels. And we've spent a lot of time talking about 4A, but it exists far wider than that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good basketball season for a lot of local teams. I also think, in looking at the records, it's going to be a long, long season for a lot of our local teams that we normally see winning 15, 16 games a year and being critical at the sectional level. When, man, some of our local teams are really struggling here in the early part of the season.
That's a look at our first segment presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Special thanks to Alex Bozich. He's in studio with us today for an extended conversation. And, of course, Lee Kelly always in studio for our Thursday show. We'll talk more high school basketball to close the program today. Each Thursday, Lee and I do our Southern Indiana basketball update. We got a player of the week, top performers. We get you set for the weekend with all the big games. So some high school talk coming later in the show as well. We'll talk IU basketball next with Alex Bozich. But again, Hoopsters Sports Grill, the sponsor of segment one. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Alex Bozich in his normal segment presented by CC Power Sports. Lots of IU discussion coming up after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back on this Thursday show, Alex Bozich in studio, so is Lee Kelly, and we've got Alex for another segment of IU Discussion here on this program presented by CC Power Sports. They have two locations serving Indiana and Kentucky. One is in Clarksville. That's the mothership store, so to speak. They carry Indian, Victory, Slingshot, Polaris, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Honda, KTM, Yamaha, Kawasaki, and Suzuki. The Louisville store right off of Interstate 65 in southern Jefferson County. They carry Kawasaki, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Yamaha, and Suzuki. New riders, welcome. And, of course, racers, welcome at CC Power Sports. Alex, got to begin with the Louisville game. A lot of excitement there. It's a natural rivalry because of the distance that makes sense. And, unfortunately, in modern times and recent times, it's a game that outside of these three seasons has not been played that often. And, unfortunately, this is the final year of a three-year agreement in that series. First, do you think it'll continue?
I do not, based on the fact that the Big Ten schedule has expanded, the fact that Indiana's already locked in with the Crossroads Classic, with the Gavitt Games on select years, the ACC Big Ten Challenge, and also the fact that I think there's an appetite from the Indiana side to get a game with Arizona from the standpoint of, you know, having the relationship, obviously, Sean and Archie Miller, and the potential for the Louisville game or the Kentucky game to come back at some point. I think that's a lot more likely to happen now with Archie Miller in Bloomington and maybe a willingness from both sides to play this at a neutral site. So I don't, you know, the interesting thing about this whole Louisville series is this is the third straight year they've played Louisville, and Louisville's had a different coach every year. The first year it was Rick Pitino.
Yeah.
Last year it was Padgett, and this year it's Chris Mack. And so, you know, I don't know what the series is overall, but I know going back to, I think, 2014, they played up in MSG, Louisville won, and then they've won the last two. So I think Indiana fans are really looking for a win in the series. If they're not going to get it this year, I think they have to be wondering when it's going to come.
And, Alex, I can think of a couple, and, of course, Lee Kelly, you'll know these same people I'm thinking of, but I can think of a couple people that we went to school with and that we both know pretty well that big-time Louisville people always got that Louisville garb on. But ever since Romeo's been a Hoosier, now they're taking pictures on the assembly hall floor. They've got IU sweatshirts and gear on. So I think there'll be some people that will be a little torn about this game, especially given our location in the state, because a lot of New Albany people, Louisville fans, maybe Kentucky fans as well, but they fell in love with Romeo's game and the way he handled himself, and now they're at least an IU fan while Romeo's there. So for us locally, it's interesting because as this game happens, some of the people that were always big Louisville side of things are now sporting the IU gear instead.
I don't, Mr. Kelly, I don't know who he's talking about specifically, but I feel like he's calling somebody out. Yeah, I mean, I think it's great for the area. Obviously, I'm sure a lot of Louisville fans are thinking what could have been with Romeo. And, you know, I think a lot of us probably felt that that's the direction he was going to head in if everything hadn't transpired. But from the Indiana side, their fans are thrilled to have him. And I think this is a game where, you know, we've Marquette game in terms of atmosphere at Assembly Hall this year was pretty good. But I think this is going to be just kind of up a different level from what we've seen this season so far, because there's a huge appetite for Indiana fans just for this team to do well, and I think there's a huge appetite for them to be successful against Louisville. So I'm expecting a pretty intense atmosphere on Saturday afternoon. Should be a fun game, nationally televised by Fox at 2:30 in the afternoon. So I think it's going to be an interesting game.
Yeah, from my viewpoint, I wish they would keep Louisville on the schedule. I understand the brother competition and so on, but Arizona means nothing to me. I mean, one way or the other. I do understand the brother thing, and I know the networks, whether it be ESPN or whoever, would look at it as the way they can market the two brothers competing against each other. But from a local standpoint, I'd rather they play Louisville so I can watch two teams that I enjoy watching play basketball.
For sure. I've got to admit, too, I went over to a Louisville game earlier in the year, and I followed them out of the corner of my eye, given their proximity. And I like seeing the local team. This is where I'm different from a lot of the IU diehards or the Louisville diehards. I want to see local teams do well, and I hear about it a lot when I talk about Purdue or Jeff Brohm. I want to see local teams do well. I want IU to do well first, but I want to see local teams do well also. I didn't know how well Louisville was going to do this year, and as you look at the IU schedule and you think about what's ahead and what's next, I thought, you know what, maybe that Louisville game coming out of two Big Ten games and going into a Butler game, maybe it won't be as tough a challenge as what you kind of perceive that Louisville will be. Although the first time I really, outside of being at the one game live, I really got to focus in and watch Louisville play was the Michigan State game. And, boy, they played some good basketball there. I think Michigan State will go on to be very good in the Big Ten and forced them to overtime, were able to get the win. I know it was at home, but I thought that was a kind of a breakthrough moment early for Chris Mack and his team and his program and his tenure there. So I think following Louisville a little closer after that win they had over Michigan State and seeing where IU is at right now, I think this will be a competitive game. And I said earlier this week, I think Indiana should be glad it's at Assembly Hall and not the Yum Center, or maybe not even at a neutral court. That will be a big boost for them in this type of game.
Yeah, and going back to even before the Michigan State game, they played Tennessee really well.
Yeah.
That was a game I thought, you know, going down to the last 3 or 4 minutes, it was a team or a game that either team could have won. And then the Marquette game, they really should have won, the neutral court game. And then they have the Michigan State win, and they just went on the road and beat Seton Hall. So it's not like they're going to be coming in with a lack of confidence. Now, I do think Indiana is going to have the two best players on the court in Romeo Langford and Juwan Morgan. But Chris Mack's a really good coach. I mean, he's been National Coach of the Year. He's got these guys bought into their system. The one key stat I think that people need to pay attention to going into this game, Louisville, of any team in the country right now, is second in the country in terms of how they generate their points coming from the free throw line. So they're a team that's very much reliant on getting to the line. Coming into Assembly Hall, is that really a strategy that you want to be reliant on? I mean, how many teams have come into to Assembly Hall and shot more free throws than Indiana, made more free throws than Indiana? I don't think it's a lot. So I think Louisville is going to have to do some things beyond just getting to the line. They're going to have to make threes. They're going to have to maybe get some guys in foul trouble on the Indiana side to have a chance to win. But I think it's going to be, you know, Louisville's up to 41 in Ken Palm. I mean, in the preseason, I think they were in the 60s. So they're obviously off to a really good start.
When we preview who IU plays, and we're talking with Alex Bozich, presented by CC Power Sports, when we preview who IU plays, I used to like to talk about the matchups and who the other team's best couple players were and you know what their strengths as a team were, some big wins they've had, just the general things that you write about on Inside the Hall, we talk about here on the Hoosier Report. Now, one of my favorite things to kind of dive into is who's going to guard Romeo? How are they going to guard Romeo? Not that he's the end-all be-all, but he sure is a potent offensive player for IU as he was in high school. So it's interesting as the season goes on, how different Big Ten teams specifically will attempt to guard him, who they will put on him. Any thoughts on who Louisville will put on him?
I think it's going to be a by-committee approach. I don't think you want to go into any game and say you're guarding Romeo Langford for 30. He's playing 33 minutes a game. That's asking a lot of anybody. And the last two games, Romeo has gone against Vic Law, who's a senior, who's 6'7 or 6'8, who has been through a lot at Northwestern. He's been in the NCAA tournament. He's, in my eyes, one of the 5 or 10 best defensive players in the Big Ten. And then he went against Josh Reeves at Penn State, who, besides Xavier Simpson of Michigan, is probably the best guard defender. And Romeo still, I think, has 37 points in two games. So, you know, from the Louisville standpoint, you better not come in with one guy and say you're on Romeo the whole night. Otherwise, that could be a difficult situation. I think Dwayne Sutton is a guy who's probably going to spend some time on him. VJ King, I don't know. He's kind of inconsistent in terms of just his, you know, how he plays on a game-to-game basis. Jordan Wara is not really known for his defense, so I don't know that they have a great matchup. And the other thing I would be worried from the Louisville side is their bigs have been a little bit prone to foul trouble, and you know Indiana's going to go right at him with Juwan Morgan. I mean, Juwan Morgan is going to get the ball, and he's going to try to go to the basket. So it's going to be interesting, but to answer your question, so far, I haven't really seen anybody that's successfully guarded Romeo. I mean, he's getting 17 or 18 points a game. I think he's the fourth leading scorer in the league as a freshman. That's pretty good.
You know, the thing that, and I am a Romeo fan, to say the least, love watching him play at all levels, but the thing that has amazed me is he lets the game come to him. He did in high school, but at the college level, there's no urgency for him to score 20 points. There's no urgency for him to be the star. And yet, all of a sudden, you look up and he'll drive to the basket. He'll have a step back three. He'll and then he just kind of takes life easy for a while. It's like on the bench, Archie's giving the third base coach signs, and it means take over for a couple of minutes, and he does, and then he relaxes again.
And the two there's two examples of that in the last two games where he's done exactly that. I mean, the Northwestern game, Juwan got hurt, and then it was Romeo time down the stretch, and he made the plays, and they won the game because Romeo made plays. Last game, the first half, the run that he went on, I mean, that was, I felt like I was watching a game in New Albany's gym. That was vintage Romeo. That was, you know, the three-pointer, the drive to the basket and the foul, the mid-range, the step back. It was almost like he was, you know, he was
there putting
was
a show on.
There was a couple that were, you know, it was a heat check, right? He had a couple. It was like, just give me the ball and I'm feeling it. I want to get this one up. And he missed a couple of those. But I, you know, the thing that amazes me about him, he's everyone has been telling him how great he is for so long, and he is a great player, but his demeanor on the court never changes. He's never going to be a guy that shows up his teammate for not getting them the ball. He does a great job of taking, he said this the other night after the Penn State game, you know, someone asked him, like, how do you decide what you're going to do on a given possession? And he basically just said in his kind of monotone, quiet voice, you know, I read the defense and I make the right basketball play. And that's what he's done every time I've watched him play. And I think he's really bought into the team aspect of Indiana basketball. You know, a perfect example of that is defensively, I think at New Albany at times, just out of necessity, didn't want to get into foul trouble, because if he did, he was going to the bench and that was a problem for the team. But this year he's digging in and he's guarding the other team's best player more often than not. And he's having success, and I think he's building confidence on that end of the floor. That was one thing I really wanted to see him improve on this year, and I think he's done it. So, I mean, I know there's been people, I've got a lot of questions on Twitter. Why isn't Romeo getting more shots? I mean, I think he's got more 25 more shots than anybody else on the team.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a college basketball team with other great players. He's not, you know, Indiana's not going to be the best team it can be if Romeo's scoring 30 a game, right? They need somebody beyond Romeo and Juwan Morgan. They need a third, a fourth, a fifth player, because if you're one-dimensional, you go up against a good team, they're going to take that guy away, and then what do you go to? So I think everyone, you know, that's worried about his points per game or whatever they're worried about, just calm down a little bit, let the season go. This team's got a long way to go. What you're seeing right now, 2 months can be completely different. I mean, this team's battled injuries. They've had guys out. They're acclimating a freshman point guard who, you know, this isn't a McDonald's All-American point guard in Robert Fennessy. He's a guy that there's a learning curve for him. And so, you know, it's to be 7-2 at this point with a narrow 1-point loss at Arkansas. And then obviously, I don't think anyone thought they were going to beat Duke. I think they're in a pretty good spot.
Is there a coincidence that Romeo took over at the end of the game when Juwan went out, and Romeo took over when he got in foul trouble in the first half? It's almost like he understands this is Juwan's last year and he wants him to be the focus of the NBA scouts or the fans or whatever it might be.
Well, I think overall just Indiana, the way Archie Miller wants to play is inside out. It's not come down and jack up a three or come down and move the ball around the perimeter. And, you know, there's been some sets where they kind of get Romeo open and get him a straight line drive to the basket. But Archie Miller's teams have never been, even going back to Dayton, perimeter-oriented. They've always been kind of inside out. And so I think they realize that if they can get Juwan going, that's going to open it up for everybody else. And so, you know, you can't pull this off with a kid that's a five-star talent, as decorated, if there's not a full buy-in from him. You know, Romeo wouldn't be having this type of success if he wasn't kind of all in on how Indiana's approaching each game on a game-by-game basis. I think even more, you know, Indiana needs to become even more balanced, I think, as the season goes along. I mean, I think Romeo is going to have some games where he goes for 30, 35, but, you know, if they have four or five guys in double figures and they're sharing the ball and they're moving the ball around, I think that's their best recipe for winning.
I think one of the things you said is so important a couple questions ago in answering it, that his defense is, you know, someone asked me that has a reason to ask questions for his future, said, what's one thing you're interested to see him do at IU? And I said, probably defense, because he never had to focus on that. He was scoring so many points. You can't focus on that in a game, you know, when you're so offensively driven for your team. But he's obviously done that. He's done that well. And so for people that worry about shots, when you already have the stats to say he's had more shots than the however many more it is than the second most shots on the team, and the things that he's done really well offensively, to see him come down and have some defensive stops and some of the things that he's done. And you said something about him. You can tell he's digging in against guys. I noticed that the other night, even when he was missing a couple shots, even when the second half happened and everybody said, oh, my gosh, how do you have a guy that scores 15 in the first half and has two or whatever it was in the second half? How does that happen? And people are on social media going nuts that don't know anything about the game. He was still coming back when his shot was not going, or maybe when he should have got the ball but didn't, and digging in, playing defense. And I always wondered how good of a defensive player could he be with his length and athleticism and just the natural Romeo skill that he has, that's almost kind of something he's created. How good could he be on defense? And I think you have seen a lot of the same things that maybe that some people that just look at points and dunks and how many times he touches the ball don't see. But he's brought a defensive lift to this team, I think.
Two observations. One, on the defense, he's had a couple instances in games this year where he's got himself going by getting in the passing lane and going to the other end for a dunk, where he's maybe missed a couple of shots. The Northwestern game is a good example of that. He got a steal and a dunk early in the game. And from where I sit kind of at the games, for the most part, I'm right there with a pretty good vantage point of the IU bench. When Romeo is not doing what he needs to do defensively, Archie Miller has no qualms about telling him, you know, what he needs to be doing differently. And he's accepting of that. He's listening. He's shaking his head, and he's reacting to that. The other thing I'll say is after the Penn State game, they made three players available to the media. I wasn't there, but I watched the video. And Romeo was asked about Clifton Moore getting into the game and making a contribution. And he was almost more excited to talk about that than he was himself. So that tells me that he's really bought into the team and, you know, his teammates having success. Because when someone asked him about Clifton Moore, he didn't light up, but he was, you know, he wanted to talk about it. You know, he said, you know, your opportunity comes up and you got to be ready to go. And when he's asked about himself, it's like, you know, he's been asked about himself for so long that he never has been one to kind of boast about his contribution. So those are just some things I've noticed recently. You know, if anyone's wondering, you know, is he not making as much of an impact as he could be, or is something wrong? I just think a lot of that is blown out of proportion. And I think he's coming along nicely where he could. He's a freshman in college. He's 9 games into his career. He's got a long way to grow.
Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. One quick recruiting thing. We've obviously talked about Trace Jackson Davis from about every angle that we can, both before he committed and now that he committed and signed and in the fold for IU. With him in there, with him a part of the 2019 class, is Keon Brooks, is he coming to Indiana? Your thoughts?
You know, I'm never one to make predictions, but if I had to, you know, handicap the school still involved and I was making a list from who's in the best shape to who's in the worst shape, I would put Indiana at or near the top of the list. I don't think anything's imminent in terms of decision. It's going to be interesting. Saturday night they play La Lumiere at Southport in the Forum Tip-Off Classic. I know New Albany's been part of that the last couple of years with Romeo, but Keon Brooks is definitely someone that Indiana fans are excited about. I think his relationship with Trace Jackson Davis is critical in this. They played together, obviously, with Spies over the summer. And I think looking at the opportunity that he could have coming in next year, if Romeo does move on to the NBA, him and Trace could really come in and make a major impact as freshmen. I think Keon Brooks does have you know, does get the appeal of staying in state and playing in Indiana. So I think Indiana's in really good shape. Kentucky and obviously North Carolina are probably the two other schools you hear about the most. But right now I would say from the Indiana standpoint, they're feeling good about their chances.
Someone said this to me the other day. This is kind of in jest, but Trace Jackson Davis had a game last Friday against Cathedral and Armand Franklin. He committed the afternoon before the game, which brought probably more people to the game and brought a little bit more hype to the game. Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks play each other Saturday night. There will be a lot of IU fans there regardless to see those guys in action and go against each other. But any chance he would commit before or after that game, with how kids do things nowadays and they're looking for their own angle and something special to conclude their recruiting, I guess you got to say it's a possibility.
Oh, you never say never, but I haven't heard anything planned. I thought it was interesting that Romeo and Fennessy went to Trace's game.
Yeah.
Last week, that was cool to see, to watch them. Obviously, most people don't think Romeo is going to be there next year, but it's I haven't heard anything imminent in terms of Keon's announcement, but he's taken all his visits now. I think he's probably starting to be in that decision making mode, but maybe here in the next couple weeks, sometime we'll hear something.
Yeah, interesting. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. Alex is actually in studio with Lee and I today. Alex, always great to catch up. Are you going to New Albany, Floyd Central Friday night?
I don't know. I was just thinking about that. I realized the other day that it was this weekend. I might have to make my way over there if I can find my way in. The last couple of years, I'd have to call ahead a couple weeks and request a spot up there on the catwalk, but I'm assuming it might be a little bit easier to get in this year, so I may have to make my way over that.
That's worth, I think, mentioning. You know, some of these big rivalry games will still be, hopefully, fingers crossed, it sure looks like sold out, which is the way it should always be. Years from now, Romeo, no Romeo, teams ranked, not ranked, whatever the case is. But that's another thing, the press facilities in New Albany has pretty decent ability to hold a lot of scouts and recruiters and newspapers and internet reporters and everybody that's out there, but that will have some room. It was at capacity. I mean, my goodness, there were people from everywhere at every single game. And again, New Albany was able to hold those people and seat those people nicely on the road. Maybe not as much, but that's something that will change a little bit as well. There'll be a little more room for you, Alex, if you want to come set up your laptop and cover the game on Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. I think 100 is the capacity up on the catwalk at New Albany.
Has it ever been over 100?
Yes. Yes, it has. Yes, it has. But don't tell anybody.
Yeah, we hope the fire marshal's not listening to the to the Hoosier Report today. Okay, we'll head to a commercial break. Don't forget to stop into CC Power Sports with locations in Clarksville and Southern Jefferson County for parts, vehicle sales, and all servicing needs for street and off-road motorcycles, side-by-sides, ATVs, and personal watercraft. CC Power Sports, they bring you Alex Bozich each Thursday on the Hoosier Report. We'll talk high school basketball with our Southern Indiana update next. All the big games, all the big performers. We'll have a player of the week as well. Stay with us for that next on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we got to move quick. Not a lot of time left in this segment, but a number of things we want to get to from a high school basketball perspective. Lee and I do this every Thursday to kind of bring recognition to as many names, players' names as we can, school names as well. We always start out with top performers, our player of the week, and we'll take a look at some of the big games this weekend. Obviously, New Albany, Floyd Central at the top of the heap as far as games to pay attention to this weekend. I'll start it off with top performers. Kobe Barnes was our top scorer last week. He was our player of the week last week, 32 points in a victory over Castle, and he also joined the 1,000-point club for the Highlanders as well. The Indiana State commit having a great start to his senior year, 32 points at Castle and a big win for the Highlanders last week.
Yeah, then we go to Christian Academy junior point guard T.J. Proctor, tallied a game-high 29 points. to lead a shorthanded Christian Academy Indiana to a 16-point win over New Washington.
Jacob Robinson of Borden, he had 26 points in a loss to Lanesville. Clarksville's Davon Fuqua, he's been putting up some big numbers for the Generals. He had 25 points in the Generals' loss to Silver Creek.
Sophomore forward Trey Kaufman led the way for Silver Creek with 24 points and 12 rebounds. That was Saturday night in the win over Jennings County.
Friday, Silver Creek, they defeated Clarksville. Jack Hawkins, 23 points. Ty Kessinger, 21 points. A very balanced Silver Creek attack. I tell you what, lots of names you're hearing in this update, and you'll hear throughout the season for this Silver Creek team. They are very potent with a mix of older players, younger players. They've got it going on at Silver Creek.
Henryville off to a little bit of a rough start, but they're getting some good performance. Cole Pierman, 22 points in the loss to Paoli. Cade Badger, 28 for Henryville in a loss to Charlestown.
New Albany's Derek Stevenson paced the Bulldogs on the road at Evansville. A win at Evansville-Harrison on Saturday night, he had 20 points.
Rock Creek, Ray Johnson, 23. Ricky Wright, 21 in that big Rock Creek win over New Washington.
And rounding out our top scorers, Jacob Robinson, he had 26 points. I think we mentioned that earlier in a loss to Lanesville. So a number of big scores. Great to see some players individually having success. Of course, team success is the name of the game. And Lee Kelly, we've got a number of games this week that really stand out in addition to New Albany Floyd. We've talked a lot about that. We're going to have the coaches on tomorrow. Tell us about some of the other big games set for this weekend.
Yeah, we've got Austin playing at Henryville, Brownstown Central's at Scottsburg, and both of those teams undefeated. Charlestown at Clarksville, Eastern Pekin at Crawford County, Rock Creek Academy at Christian Academy, Seymour's at Jeff on Friday night, Silver Creek at North Harrison, South Central's at Borden, and Southwestern of Hanover at New Washington.
A slate of games on Saturday as well. One that stands out is Providence at Scottsburg. Scottsburg 3-0 on the season at this point, but some other games of interest Saturday night as well.
Well, we've got Carmel and Jeff. They'll play at around 1:40 on Saturday afternoon. That's at Southport in that shootout. Borden's at Crothersville, Christian Academy at Paoli, Clarksville at Eastern Pekin. Columbus East travels down to meet the undefeated Silver Creek Dragons. Evansville Christians at South Central, Henryville at Corydon, Medora at Lanesville, North Harrison at Orleans, Providence, as you mentioned, at Scottsburg, both those teams undefeated, and Rock Creek Academy at Jennings County.
Our game of the week, obviously, Floyd Central at New Albany. Get there early, get your ticket, get in line, see the JV game. It should be good as well. Enjoy a classic matchup between the Highlanders and Bulldogs early in this season. And our player of the week, Lee, I think we've got to go with the repeat. We saw this a number of times last year with Romeo Langford, but another big week from Kobe Barnes, and I think we've got to look his direction.
Absolutely, and I encourage people to get out and see Kobe play. He's an Indiana State recruit, having a good year. Also catch those Dragons and Bulldogs.
Absolutely. We'll wrap things up for today. Thanks so much for being with us. Thanks to Alex Bozich in studio. Lee Kelly is always with me Thursdays as well. We'll be back Friday, one final show of the week at 11 o'clock right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.